Hello, I'm Preston Schleinkofer. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio, where we discuss all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disasters might affect you and your community. This week, we have a very special guest, and matter of fact, she is the first superhero for emergency management. Supergirl from New York City's Department of Emergency Management. But in the meantime, before we get to her, let's have a commercial break. Winter cold and flu season is still upon us, and we should be fortifying our immune system to counter these threats. I recommend doTERRA's On Guard products, specifically their beadlets and soft gels. The On Guard ingredients are pure essential oils, make this powerful aid in helping our family maintain good health. To find out more, visit our website at www.oilsforlifetoday.com. That's oils, number four, lifetoday.com, or find the link at the bottom of the show notes, and it'll take you directly there. Caitlin James is a program specialist in the Community Engagement Unit of the New York City Emergency Management Department. Since 2014, Caitlin's program has trained over 200,000 students across the city and has visited hundreds of schools. In 2015, she launched Ready Girl, the emergency preparedness superhero that has created a new platform for teaching kids on safety and preparedness and launched a comic book with Marvel Custom Solutions. In April 2017, Caitlin received the Outstanding Achievement Award in Public Awareness from the National Hurricane Conference in New Orleans for the creation of Ready Girl. Caitlin has appeared on Good Day New York, ABC 7, CBS, Fox 5, and New York 1, representing New York City emergency management on different emergency-related issues. Caitlin graduated from Pace University in May of 2014 with a degree in political science and peace and justice studies, and currently attends New York Law School as an evening student. It is my pleasure to introduce the first superhero for emergency management, Caitlin, aka Ready Girl. Welcome to the show, Caitlin. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. It's always a pleasure to meet a superhero. And you are actually the first one that I have ever met. I have a lot of heroes, but never a superhero like you.
Well, thank you. It's truly an honor to be here. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Yes, me too. I gave a brief bio of you and what you've accomplished, which is commendable. I mean, you've done a great deed here for your community. Can you give us a little more insight into what you do and how you do it for New York City? And I'm sure you probably get calls out of the city as well.
Sure. As you mentioned, we launched Ready Girl back in 2015. I began my journey here at New York City Emergency Management in 2014. And we were visiting schools and doing assembly-style workshops. And throughout them, I was realizing that we were always getting upstaged by the fire department and the police department. You know, they have their uniforms, and maybe they would bring a dog, or they had their trucks. And we would go and talk about emergency preparedness, and I realized that there was definitely a need for us to increase our message and our awareness, especially with children. So that's how the idea of Ready Girl was born, was creating some sort of character for kids to relate to and for us to sort of build out the story of emergency preparedness. So back in 2015, we launched Ready Girl in October at the Brooklyn Superhero Supply Company store. And it was a really fun day. We invited Spider-Man to come, and we presented our normal presentation that we do, teaching kids the four steps of emergency preparedness, which we believe is having phone numbers, meeting places, a go bag, and a stay-at-home kit through the eyes of Ready Girl. And that's where her story began. And since then, as you mentioned, we have visited hundreds of schools throughout New York City. We also do community events. So if a church or a nonprofit organization is having a family event or a fair, we'll attend. We also do summer camps. And our outreach has really expanded since we launched in 2015. I'm not the only Ready Girl now. We also hired 4 actresses who helped me in visiting the schools throughout the city. So they're all either theater students in college or professional actors or actresses. And they do a lot of different children's theater. And they've been a wonderful team, a wonderful addition to our team. So the girls go out and they do Ready Girl presentations just like I do. And that's really how we've been able to expand our reach in New York City.
Well, that's great. That's what being prepared is all about. And what emergency management is getting the people ready. And you're starting the next generation very young. So how early do you go? What grades do you try to hit the most, and what's the youngest?
So our presentation is really geared for kindergarten through fifth grade, so about 5 or so. And really, like, third grade is the age that they're really most excited. They understand this concept a little bit more. They're really interested in superheroes. And that's really the grade that I have the most fun in. We do visit pre-K. Now, you know, New York City has universal pre-K, so a lot of public schools have pre-K classrooms. So we have gone and expanded there. Those presentations are a lot shorter. It's just introducing these topics to kids. Mostly they're just excited to see a superhero come into their classroom, but we have a big map of New York City. So we teach them about the different boroughs and the bridges, and we talk to them about the different emergencies, and we go through all the items in my go bag. So they do get the same materials. We sent home a letter to parents from our commissioner and the Department of Education chancellor that says, you know, today we visited your child's school. These are the things we talked to them about. This is how you can review a plan with your family. So we really try to get as much information as we can back home to the parents. And that's sort of our mission, is that if we could tell kids about how to be prepared and what to do, and then they can bring that home to their parents, then we've done our job.
No, that's great. That's great. I spent 27 years in federal law enforcement, and I started my career in Border Patrol in South Texas. And I had a canine for a while. And we had our drug demand reduction program, and we take our dogs into the schools, and those young kids and how they react with the dogs was just fantastic. So I have a feeling of what you experience when you go into those classrooms as well. It's so fun with those little kids and talking to them, and their eyes light up when they see you in costume or one of your other people in costume. I can imagine the joy that they have with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does make the presentation a lot more fun. They have a different perspective. They, many of them know the different types of emergencies. They know all about the different items that we have. It's just putting them together in a cohesive way and learning about what it means to make an emergency plan that makes it really important.
Yes. And so your program helps the teachers institute that emergency plan within the classroom. Is that what it's all about?
So we really talk about individual preparedness. So what we do at New York City Emergency Management, we have in our community engagement program, the program that I'm a part of, we have individual and community preparedness. So our youth programming falls under our individual preparedness. So really we speak to each student as individuals. Of course, we hope that the teacher themselves, you know, implement some of this information. Maybe they keep extra supplies in their classroom. Maybe they, you know, encourage the students to talk about this with their families. Sometimes when I go to visit a school, they'll say the kids' homework yesterday was to talk to their families about this. So we've definitely seen different creative ways that teachers have implemented this. But the main goal is to teach individual students about how to be prepared so then they could take that home to their families. Usually what ends up happening after we visit a school is we send another presenter to come talk to the parents. So we do parent workshops. All of our guides are available in 13 different languages. So sometimes we have interpreters or bilingual speakers who will present to the teachers and parents, or to the adults rather, about emergency preparedness. So that's often something that comes from our different outreach.
No, that's great. Now, I noticed in your pictures and the graphic about Ready Girl, you have a superhero belt. What do you carry in your superhero belt?
That is top secret, but I could share. So I always have a flashlight. Uh-huh. I always have a radio with some batteries. Mm-hmm. I used to put my cell phone in there, but since the iPhone models have changed so drastically, that does not fit anymore.
Yeah.
I have some hand sanitizer. I have some cash, and I usually have my silver Sharpie that I use to sign comic books.
All right. Man, you can't do it without that. That's for sure.
Yep, that is very important. And then sometimes, you know, throughout doing events and meeting people, you know, I give out my business card if they want, you know, to learn more about preparedness. So I always keep some of those in there as well.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, you mentioned there were four items that you train the kids on, and a couple of them were some kind of bag. Is that right? Did I hear you right?
Yep. Yeah, so we our four steps to emergency preparedness that we talk to kids about is having two important phone numbers written down someplace safe. Each kid, after they have a presentation by us, they receive an emergency reference card. And the idea of that is to fill out your important information and contacts of either your parent or a grown-up or someone who takes care of you, and keeping that in your backpack at all times. The second step is having two meeting places, so two places to go in case of an emergency. And the third step is having a go bag. So we talk about all the importance of having a go bag. And I bring my go bag, Ready Girl's go bag, to each presentation, and we go through all the items in it. And the kids decide whether or not having an item in the bag is a good idea or a bad idea. And then we talk about how this item could help us in an emergency.
And
the last step is our stay-at-home kit. So having items at home in case of an emergency, like a blizzard or a big storm that causes you to stay at home.
Okay. So it's not just being ready at school, but it's being ready at home as well, and in between home and school.
Yep.
All
absolutely.
Right.
And that's the idea, is that we want to teach kids that they practice fire drills in school. They know what would happen in case of an emergency at school. They know where to go. But have they ever done that at home? Have they ever practiced leaving their apartment or leaving their home in case of an emergency with a grown-up? So we also encourage them to do that as well.
No, that's great. So can you give us an idea of some of the things that might be in the kids' go bag that they would have at school, or do you also recommend they carry that bag from home to school and back? Or
no, we recommend this is what they would keep at home, but we do recommend them keep their emergency supply kit in their backpack, their emergency reference card in their backpack at all times, because you know, in the city, and I think most schools have, where, you know, the first day of school you fill out your important information, you know, medical information, phone numbers, but that stays at the school. So we encourage kids to keep this reference card on them in case an emergency, you know, happens. But usually the go bag is what we tell them to keep at home.
Okay. And then the stay at home bag is just more of the same as the go bag, or how do you differentiate the two?
So we differentiate the two based on the length of time that you would need one. So, for example, if there's a snowstorm that you'd have to stay at home for a couple of days, you would want extra water, batteries, flashlights, medicine. If you have a dog or a cat, making sure you have extra pet food, non-perishable food. So that's more of exactly having just more of the items at home, whereas the go bag is having stuff you can easily take with you when you leave, and, you know, not carrying 5 liters of water, but maybe having those at home. So that's how we usually draw the distinction.
Uh-huh. So have you had large presentations where you've done, you know, more than just one school, where, you know, maybe some big community event where you were a part of, that you had the opportunity to address kids from a wide variety of areas?
Yeah, we do our National Preparedness Month in September. New York City Emergency Management conducts nearly 100 events throughout the month. And two of the events that we host is the Bronx Zoo and the Staten Island Children's Museum. And those are two popular New York City destinations where parents and families go. So we have people all throughout New York City who come to the Bronx Zoo who might come to the Staten Island Children's Museum for that event. It's a free event that is open to the public. So we usually get a wide range of people who live in Brooklyn, Staten Island, Manhattan. So we get a lot of different people in that at those two events.
Well, there's a lot of people who visit New York City on a regular basis, so I'm sure you have people from all over the world that would visit those two sites as well during that time period.
Yes.
It gives you an opportunity to be internationally known. So how does that feel to be internationally known, Ready Girl?
It feels great. You know, we could, in our blog too, we could see where people are viewing from. And so anytime we get a notification that someone from another country looked at the blog, it's really exciting.
That's great.
And the power of social media just, you know, helps. We've had great conversations with people from Australia and in different parts of the world who have learned about Ready Girl from New York City, and they want to know more about what we do and how we educate kids. And it's been a really wonderful experience for me.
Well, since you mentioned social media, I must say that I'm going to have the links to your Ready Girl site and your blog at the bottom of the show notes for this show. So anybody who wants to find out more about Ready Girl, we'll be able to find them there. So, you don't have a Facebook page though, right?
No, we have our agency page, New York City Emergency Management, and they share a lot about Ready Girl.
Okay, so we can always find things there.
Yes.
Great. Now, for other communities who want to do something like what you're doing, what would you suggest they do?
Well, we are in the process of creating a national expansion of Ready Girl. So we don't have exactly a timeline as to when it will be finished, but hopefully sometime in the early spring, where jurisdictions can license out Ready Girl if they want to use the concept themselves in their schools. So that's something we're really excited to be able to offer other jurisdictions soon. But if they're not interested exactly in using Ready Girl, I think that you have to think about your community and what it is that you want to, what message is it that you want to share. For me, I was working with New York City kids where there's a lot of access to incredible, incredible things. And I knew that I had to be funny and entertaining and get the message across in a way that would be enjoyable for them. And superheroes, everybody loves superheroes. New York City is where so many of, you know, the world's famous superheroes come from. So for us, it made sense to have a superhero. So I think you have to think about what serves your public and what will help implement the message and thinking about doing it in a way that works for them. And I think with children, what's important is that kids are very smart, and they enjoy when you speak to them at a level that they can get challenged, and also that they can show you how much information they really know. And that's been one of the most fun part about being Ready Girl, is that I really talk with the students. I never talk at them. Mm-hmm. So they feel like they're empowered in this process. And that's sort of what's been so much fun about being Ready Girl, is that when I start my presentation, I ask them to help me, and I say, you know, there's 8 million people in New York City. I can't do this all by myself. Do you think you can become a preparedness superhero with me? And they're like, yeah, I want to help. I want to be a part of this. So that's sort of how we get them to be prepared and just really empower them to know that they have the ability to be prepared and to be empowered themselves. And that's been a really fun, really fun part of my job.
Yes, being Ready Girl's sidekick would be quite an honor for many of those children, I'm sure.
Yeah. And
did they get a mask? I'm sorry. Do they get a mask, you know, to be incognito, or do they?
So actually, yes, at the events that we have during National Preparedness Month, we do create your own mask, create your own superhero cape with Ready Girl. One year we did make your own superhero cuffs. So I got recycled paper towel rolls, and I cut them up, and kids got to make their own superhero costume with me. So that was really fun.
Well, that's really good. Have you had any interaction with FEMA on a local national level about your program? Because I know they offer grants and various awards for people who come up with neat ideas. Like in Washington State, they came up with Map Your Neighborhood, which is a fantastic program, and I've been promoting it ever since I started this program. It's getting neighbors talking about emergency preparedness. It was designed around earthquakes, but it can be used for just about anything. So the person who came up with that program, she's a PhD, and she got a nice big award from FEMA. Has FEMA offered you or the New York City any kind of award for this program?
Not specifically for Ready Girl, but other programs in our Ready New York have received the individual and community preparedness awards that they used to do, the ICPD award. So other parts of our program have received recognition from them. But Ready Girl has not received an award from FEMA. We received the National Hurricane Conference Award I received, and also the Government Communicators for K-12 in educational excellence.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I think if FEMA's listening, which I know a few of them are, there should be some recognition for Ready Girl from FEMA. Just saying.
Yeah, we work very well and closely with our partners and friends at FEMA. So they really help us a lot promote the program, and they have been a really fantastic partner since we launched.
Yeah. Now, your comic book that you have, is it one edition that's been produced? How did that come about? And can you tell us more about that?
Sure. After we launched Ready Girl in 2015, we started working with Marvel about how we can create a Ready Girl comic. We invited Marvel. We had Spider-Man come to our press launch back in October of 2015, and we thought that making a comic book made sense for a superhero. And so in May of 2016, we launched Ready Girl's first comic book, and it's available in English and Spanish, and we've already distributed over 100,000 copies of it. And it was really a great project to work together with Marvel on it and to educate kids about our emergency preparedness message. So the same four steps we talk about at every presentation is embedded in the comic. And what I found to be the most interesting thing about the comic, and sort of unexpected, is that parents and teachers, anytime someone stops by our table or we're at an event, they're so excited to read a comic book because maybe they read them as kids or maybe they still read them. So that's sort of a demographic that I found to be so exciting and unexpected, because we created this book for kids and the concept, you know, we kept kids in mind, but I never realized just how popular it would be with everybody else. And we launched that back in 2016, and we still distribute them at every Ready Girl event that we go to. Back in 2016, I also got to attend Comic-Con, and I was interviewed there by Twitch, and we had a really great conversation about preparedness, and we gave out over 2,000 books that weekend, so that was really fun.
Wow, that's cool. Well, I hope Marvel has you in a cameo appearance in their next superhero
that show. That would be cool. Amazing. I would be very happy for that. That would be awesome, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, you know, anything's possible. You know, what you're doing is fantastic. It's one of those unique ideas that I think resonates with the target audience, which in this case is children, and it gets them thinking throughout their life. You know, they'll be in high school and they'll remember you and a presentation. You know, something will trigger that, and they'll think back and they'll go, "Oh yeah, that's what I need to do." And so, you know, what you're doing has a great effect on people in the future of their lives and any disasters that may come. It's quite commendable of you and the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I've been very fortunate here at New York City Emergency Management to have such a supportive team. And there's so many people that have helped me, you know, get Ready Girl to where it is today. So I know that I'm very lucky for that.
Yes. Now, you know, I'm all about civil defense. And, you know, what you're doing fits right in to civil defense. And there's other aspects to being prepared for emergencies, you know, besides just the basics. Because, you know, let's face it, Mother Nature sometimes throws curveballs, and those incidents that happen, they can really mess up our plans, like Hurricane Sandy did, Hurricane Katrina, Harvey hitting Houston, things like that, and big blizzards, which I know you guys have had some snow up there recently, but nothing really heavy, not like in some of the years past. What can you advise parents of children to do for their families, getting their families ready, as well as making sure the kids have what they need? What should families do or parents do for that preparedness?
I think what's important, aside from just having items at home, like having a go bag or having a stay-at-home kit, is practicing your plan and communicating. I think it's important for families to know where they would go, who they would go to, who to call, how to get in touch with them, all of the things that we might take it for granted for on a blue sky day when phones are working, my cell phone's fully charged, I can call someone, but really figuring out what would we do in case we couldn't get home? What would we do in case, you know, my phone died and I didn't have your phone number written down somewhere. So practicing the plan and practicing how you would get to where you need to go to, where you would go, is, I think, really important. And that's a really important step of being prepared for any types of emergencies, really. That's just, you know, an additional part of being prepared. You know, you get your stuff, you get informed, and then you practice, you know, knowing what to do.
Okay. Now, the West Coast has changed their 3-day preparedness status to 10 days, 2 weeks, 14 days, I think, you know, most of the West Coast now. What has New York City established as their time frame? Because some emergencies take longer for people to get help to you.
Right. So what are you referring to?
Well,
specifically?
Well, like in California, Oregon, and Washington, they have a huge earthquake threat, and they don't think that they would be able to get to people within 14 days in some areas. So they are suggesting that people have water, food, and supplies in their homes to last 14 days should something happen. New York, I know I live in Virginia. We've had two earthquakes since I've lived here. There's that. There's other weather related incidents. What type of time frame is the city proposing to be the standard of readiness?
So we say about 7 days. It's good to have enough supplies at home for about 7 days. Of course, it'll depend on the type of emergency, but that's generally what we tell people, is to have enough supplies to last you about 7 days.
Well, that's good. I like the 2 weeks better, but you know, you guys have your own situation to as a guide. No, that's good. That's better than the 3 days that the FEMA has been pushing for a long time.
Yeah, it all depends on the emergency and the location. So I think if people have 3 days, that's better than no days, right? So I think we say about 7.
Okay, that's good. So do you have any last comments to relay to our friends out there who are listening on anything that we may have not covered?
Not particularly, but I think that it's been a pleasure to speak with you and to share the story of Ready Girl. And if someone has an idea or they have a concept that they want to pursue, pursue it. You know, you'd be so surprised how I thought about this sitting at my desk one day, and I never, ever thought that it would get to where it is. The fact that we've had so much positive reaction and just to see how much kids have enjoyed it, it's really made my job so much fun. And knowing that I can help teach someone how to be prepared and make them feel empowered by it has really been such a great experience. So to everyone who's out there listening who does preparedness information, keep up the good work. It's so important what we do, and thank you all for listening.
That's great. It was a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you.
And civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with a guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio and on Twitter at civil_def, that's DEF _ radio, where we post information on the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. I wish to thank our guest, Ready Girl, again for being on the show today, and our friends and listeners who are with us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you being with us this week. So please, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.